We're in Siman Lamed Beis in Hilchas Tefillin, Halachas of writing the Tefillin. We are in the middle of Sif Lamed Vav. We began it yesterday. We'll be concluding it today. Now, Sif Lamed Vav began with the Mechaber telling us that the Parshias of Kadesh, Vahyoki Yeviyacha, and Shema appear in the Sefer Torah as Parshios Psuchos, whereas the Parsha Vayoyim Shemoa is a Parsha Stuma. We said that within the Tefillin Shel Yad, we're all four on the same Parsha, so you're supposed to do the same thing, and that is try to make Kadesh Vayoyim Shemoa and Shema Parshios Psuchos, Vayoyim Shemoa Parsha Stuma. The Ramah had told us that you could make the fourth one Psucha as well, and we saw Machlokas as to what one should actually do. Should an Ashkenazi try to do like the Machaber and make the fourth one a Parsha Stuma? Or, the Magen Avraham said, just leave it a Parsha Psucha like the Ramah said. In either case, back to the Machaber, and possibly for Ashkenazim as well, who are trying to be choshesh for the Machaber L'chatchila, we're supposed to make the first three Parshias Parshas Psuchas and the fourth one a Parsha Stuma. Now, this happens to be quite problematic, and that really is based on what differentiates between a Parsha Psucha and a Parsha Stuma. There's a machlokus between the Rambam and the Rush, how we define a Parsha Psucha and how we define a Parsha Stuma. The Rambam Shita is that a Parsha Psucha must always begin at the beginning of a line. A Parsha Stuma is a Parsha that begins in the middle of the line. Now, whether it's a psucha or a stuma, everybody holds that if you do not have a nine-letter space between the parshias, we don't call it the beginning of a parsha of anything, psucha or stuma. All parshias must be separated by a minimum of a nine-letter space, according to the Rambam, then. If you end a parsha with more than a nine-letter space, a nine-letter or more space to the end of the line, and then begin the next parsha at the beginning of the next line, that's a parsha psucha, because you've already got your nine-letter space, and it begins at the beginning of the line. If you ended it at the end of the line, and now you leave an entire line as a space, and then begin a line later, the parsha, that is a parsha psucha, because it had the space before it, and it now is the beginning of a line. Whereas, if you either ended in the middle of the line, you have a nine-letter space, and then begin the parsha at the end of that very same line, then you've got yourself a Parsha Stuma. Or, according to the Rambam, say you end the Parsha at the end, you leave nine-letter space at the beginning of the next line, and then begin writing there at the middle of the line, this is a Parsha Stuma. The Rambam Shita then is very, very clear. You always need a minimum of a nine-letter space. What makes it a Parsha Stuma is that you then began the next Parsha at the beginning of the line. What makes it a Parsha Stuma is that you began in the middle of the line. Whether you have your nine-letter space just before it, or you have the nine-letter space starting from the beginning of the line. In either case, if you start at the middle, it's a Parsha Stuma. If you start at the beginning, it's a Parsha Psucha. The Rambam Shita seems quite straightforward. The Rashi Shita is different. According to the Rosh, what makes a Parsha Stuma, is the fact that you have a nine-letter space going off to the beginning or end of a line. Which means, according to the Rosh, if you ended a Parsha and had a nine-letter space that goes all the way to the end of the line, a minimum of nine letters, and then begin at the beginning of the next line, that is a Parsha Psucha, very much like the Rama. Or, you ended it at the end of the line and began by indenting nine letters, according to the Rush, since you have a nine-letter space going off to the end or the beginning, this is now a Parsha Psucha. So that if you're beginning a Parsha in the middle of a line, but you had a nine space, you had nine spaces, you had the space for nine letters before it, we call that a Parsha Psucha, so long as there was nothing else written in that line. What would a Parsha Stuma be? Where you ended, say somewhere in the beginning of the line, had a nine-letter space, and then begin, which the Rambam also called a Parsha Stuma. So that so far, the only difference between the Rambam and the Rush is that if you end a Parsha at the end of a line, then begin the next line with a nine-letter space, and then begin the Parsha, the Rambam would call that a Parsha Stuma, because it does not begin at the beginning of the line. the Rosh would call this a parsha psucha because you have a nine-letter space that is open to the air the whole way and there are no letters on the other side. Another case where there's a machlokus. According to the Rambam, if you ended a parsha at the end of the line, and this is a parsha psucha, so what do? If you'll indent nine spaces at the beginning of the next line and start writing, that will be a stuma. So how do you write a psucha? Skip the line. You have a complete line open and then begin at the beginning of the line. The Rosh holds that since you do not have a nine-letter space that is running off to the open air, but here you have an entire line that's open, we don't call this a parsha psucha. A parsha psucha must have a nine-letter space open to the air on one side and closed on the other. If you skip a line, according to the Rosh, the next line begins a parsha psucha, a stuma. It begins a parsha stuma. So we have two differences between the Rambam and the Rosh then. According to the Rambam, if you leave a nine-letter space at the beginning of the line and then start writing, you've got yourself a parsha stuma. The Rosh would call it a psucha. The second one is, if you end at the end of the line, skip a line, and then begin at the beginning of the next line, the Rambam would call that a psucha. The Rosh would call that a stuma. Okay, now we apply it to our case. We have a problem. We would like to make the fourth parsha, V'hayoyim Shemoa, into a parsha stuma. How do you do that? So let's go back to the Rambam and the Rosh. According to the Rambam, that would mean beginning the parsha in the middle of a line, which is not problematic. According to the Rambam, leave a nine-letter space and then begin V'hayoyim Shemoa, and you've got yourself a parsha stuma. Whereas according to the Rosh, that's called a parsha psucha. What would you have to do, according to the Rosh, to make it stuma? You have writing on that line, then you have a nine-letter space, and then you start the next parsha on that very same line. The problem is that the four parshias in the tefillin are written on four different columns. You cannot end a parsha at the beginning of a column that is supposed to be set aside for the next parsha. So according to the Rosh, how do we make a parsha stuma? Well, there's an easy answer. What you can do is end the previous parsha at the end of the line, skip a line, and then begin at the beginning of the next line, because the Rosh called that a parsha stuma. The problem is that the Rambam calls that a parsha psucha. So that there is no real way that you can possibly start V'hayoyim Shemoa, turn it into a parsha stuma, according to both the Rambam and the Rosh in Tefillin. In a Sefer Torah, there's no problem. Always make sure that you end the parsha stuma at the beginning of a line, leave a nine-letter space, and then begin the next parsha, and we'll call it stuma according to everybody. But in tefillin, where they've got to be in four different columns, there's no way you can be yotze everybody. You leave nine letters and then begin writing. The Rambam calls it a stuma, the Rosh a psucha. You skip a line and then start writing. The Rosh calls it a stuma, the Rambam a psucha. What do? Now let's see how the Mechaber says to actually write it. V'lochein nohagu. Sheparshas kadishli v'hoyoki v'yacho parshas shma maschilin barosh shita. We begin the first three parshias at the very beginning of the line in order that they be parshias psuchos, according to everybody. Now, in order that they be three separate parshios and not one run-on parsha, you must leave a nine-letter space. But you can't leave that nine-letter space at the beginning of the line because according to the Rambam, that would be a stuma. So what you've got to do is, ubesof kadeshli, at the end of the first parsha, ubesof ayokiviyacha, at the end of the second parsha, manichim cholok, we leave space, kidei lichtov tes osios, you leave a nine-letter space at the end of kadesh and at the end of ayokiviyacha, so that the parshias that follow them are going to be parshios psuchos when they begin at the beginning of the line. Now we get up to the parsha of V'hayoyim Shemoa, how are we going to make that a stuma? Ubesov shma ein manichim cholok. The third parsha, therefore, is not to have any space. It should end at the very end of the column. V'im manichim, and if you couldn't finish it at the end of the column, and you have some space, pachos mechte lichtov teis elsios, it should at least be smaller than a space to write nine letters. Then, ufarshas V'hayoyim Shemoa, maschilin be'emtza shita elyon. V'hayoyim Shemoa begins in the middle of the next column. And what you do is you leave a nine-letter space before it. So let's think, what have we done? The first three parshas begin at the beginning of the line. They are considered parshas psuchos. Incidentally, even though Kadesh, the first parsha, has no space before it. Since it is the first one on the cloth, we consider that a psucha anyway. The same way Bereishis Bara, the Rambam counts as a parsha psucha. So that Kadesh and Vahayaki Viacha and Shema begin at the beginning of the line, preceded by a 9-letter space at the end of the line that came before them. How about the fourth parsha? We leave a 9-letter gap before you start writing Vayom Shemoa. Now, according to the Rambam, this is a parsha stuma, because it's beginning in the middle of the line. The problem is that according to the Rush, this is a parsha psucha. Because according to the Rush, if you have a 9-letter space that begins in the middle of the line and goes all the way back to the beginning, in other words, you have writing after it, but you have a 9-letter space and that takes you out to the air, we call that a parsha psucha. This is a parsha psucha, not a stuma. The Mechaber holds it's got to be stuma. What are we going to do? Says the Mechaber, V'nimtza sheshlosha parshios sein psuchos bein la Rambam bein la Rosh. So it turns out that the first three parshios are psuchos according to everybody. U'parsha achrona hi stuma ladasa Rambam. The fourth one will only be a stuma according to the Rambam, whereas according to the Rosh it's a psucha. So what do we do? The Mechaber holds that it's ma'akev. The Mechaber holds that the fourth parsha must be stuma, and according to the Rosh, it's not. The Mechaber holds that the Ikar Adin is like the Rambam. The Mechaber holds that the halacha is that we define a parsha psucha as one that begins at the beginning of the line, and somewhere before it there was a minimum of a 9-letter space. But at the beginning of the line is the way you start a parsha psucha. If you start in the middle of the line, even though it was preceded by a 9-letter space, that is a parsha stuma. That's the way he paskins. So in the Sefer Torah, we try to be yotze both. In Tfilin, since there's no way of doing it, the Mechaber says, go with the Ikar Adin, which is the Rambam. The Taz came up with an innovation. He came up with a way that he claims you can be yotze everybody. He says, who says that the 9-letter space has to be all together? The 9-letter space between parshias can be split between two lines. So that he says, go ahead and end the parsha of Shema within 9 letters of the end, but leave some space. Say 2, 3. Then, the last parsha of Vayom Shemoa, do not indent 9 letters. Indent as much as you need, where together with the previous indentation, meaning that which you left at the end, with the two together would add up to 9. So say you left a three-letter space at the end of Shema, now leave a 6-letter space at the beginning of Vayom Shemoa. What you gain by that, his claim is, that according to the Rosh, this would also be a Parsha Stuma, because you do not have a 9-letter space that is open to the air. All you have is a 6-letter one here and a 3-letter one at the end of the previous line. You have 9 letters to separate between parshias, but you do not have 9 in a row that would turn it into a psucha. His claim is this is a parsha stuma according to everybody. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the Mishnah Berurah brings, has a problem with that. If this is true, why didn't anyone think of it? Why didn't the Mechaber also tell you that you can do this? The Mechaber, who was looking for a way to be yotze everybody, couldn't come up with a solution. He told us, therefore, to follow the Shitas HaRambam. If the Taz is right, then he could have told us to do this. Nevertheless, the Mishnah Berurah does bring that the Rambam Pano, as well as even the Gra, say that the Taz is correct, and that this is an ideal way to write your tefillin, to have the first three psuchos starting at the beginning of the line, preceded by Kadesh and Vahayaki V'Acha ending 9 letters before the end, Shema ending within 9 letters, say 3 or 4, and then Vayom Shemoa beginning fewer than 9 letters from the beginning, so that the two together, two spaces together, will add up to 9, and yet, because you don't have a 9-letter space, the Rush wouldn't call it a Parsha Psucha. So altogether, we're left with really 3 shitas of what to do l'maisa. We could either follow the Shitas HaMachaber, which is make the fourth parsha stuma according to the Rambam only, leave 9 spaces before you begin it, or follow the Taz and leave 9 spaces broken between the end of Shema and the beginning of Vayom Shemoa, or follow what the Magen Avraham had told us in yesterday's shir, which is make all 4 parshas psuchos, because the Rama holds that they are not ma'akif. Those are the 3 ways of going about it. One thing the Mishnah Berurah does say, though, Since, according to the Rambam, the only way that a parsha is called psucha is if it begins at the very beginning of the line, in the first three parshas, in Kadesh Vayakaviyacha and Shema, you've got to be careful that the sofer starts at the very beginning of the line and does not indent at all. The Prima Gadim has a tzad to say that if he indents even one letter, then that is considered a stum according to the Rambam. So that since we're following at least the Rambam, which is the Ikar Adin, you've got to make sure that all three of the first parshias, Kadesh Vayakaviyacha and Shema, begin at the very beginning of the line. If the sofer accidentally indented, then he should now make this the new margin and make sure that the rest of the parsha will follow, beginning just where the parsha began, so that there's no indentation whatsoever. This way, your parshios are parshios psuchos, certainly according to the Rambam, which is the Ikar Adin.